Good morning, Drift Run Church. Good to be out in God's house, is it not, this morning? Thankful for all of you that's here this morning. Thankful for our visitors as well. You know, we have been preaching on the elephant in the room, and I'm going to continue that series this morning. And I will be over in Genesis, the second chapter, the 25th verse. I've titled my sermon this morning, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Who told you that you were naked? And you'll get it, and you'll see, I'm going to be preaching on the elephant in the room of shame and guilt this morning. And I want to say this to you this morning. You know, if you are affected by this, if your life is affected by this, you know what? It could be affecting your relationships. It could be affecting your family. It could be affecting your walk with the Lord this morning. If you have this elephant in the room, and I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. Turn with me to Genesis, the second chapter, the 25th verse. What it tells us here is this, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I'm going to read that again. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord, this morning for you. I thank you for the songs. I thank you for the testimonies this morning, Lord. I thank you for the souls that have been gathered here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would get me out of the way this morning as I try and endeavor, Lord, to preach your word. I pray, Father, that hearts would be opened up here this morning, Lord. I pray that it would, Lord. For, Father, you know the need in every individual here this morning. You know what's needed. And, Father, we just pray, Lord, we want to thank you for your love, for your mercy. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. That's what this is all about, Lord. That's what it's all about. And, Father, we just praise you for it all. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. How many of you in here knew who Ann Landers was? It's a.k.a. Dear Abby. I know most of you in here have probably read articles about her years ago. You know, she used to have an article in the paper every day and dealt with everything from, you know what, from problems. She'd give advice is what it was. And she'd give advice from everything from their children to your spouses to your bosses. And it went on and on and on. Whatever you had an issue with, you'd write in there. And she was one that would do that. But anyway, she wrote a book here a few years back. And in the book, she explained one of the most difficult things that people struggled with in the letters that she had received was the issue of guilt and shame in their lives. She had talked about that's one of the biggest things that she'd ever got letters on. And how that they could not forgive themselves. I don't know if you're here this morning. I don't know whatever's happened in your life. And maybe you're sitting back there this morning. And maybe the shame and the guilt has got you into your life. And maybe you cannot forgive yourself this morning. I'm going to give you hope this morning. Amen? Amen. I want to give you hope because you can be forgiven. Anyway, she went on to prove, and she said, letters prove that there's no punishment that can be inflicted on us that is as powerful as the punishment sometimes that we inflict upon ourselves. Will you agree with me on that? There are times in our lives that we inflict punishment and pain upon ourselves that is more potent than anything that has ever been handed out to us. She gave a few examples, a few of the letters that had been written into her. I let my boyfriend go too far. Now when he sees me, he looks the other way. I am so ashamed of myself, I could just die. This came in from a 16-year-old girl. Another lady wrote a letter in. She said, I threw a dish towel at my mother-in-law. She threw it in her face. She was trying to be helpful, and I lost my temper, and I hate myself because of it. I hate myself. I hate myself for my temper. Another teenager wrote, said, I got caught cheating in a history exam today. And all the kids knew about it. And I just absolutely feel rotten about it, and I just cannot forgive myself for it. No matter how many freedoms we have in this country, no matter what freedoms are given to us, the freedom of guilt and shame that is imposed on us by ourselves sometimes for our sins is greater than all those liberties it seems like sometimes in our lives. Guilt and shame will afflict some of us, all of us, at one point in time in our lives. It will do that. It will. I'm guilty just as much as anybody else sitting in here listening to me this morning. Guilt and shame doesn't care the color of your skin. It doesn't care how much money is in your bank account. It doesn't care what your zip code is, whether you're male or female. It doesn't care about that. And they don't even care how old you are. Do you realize that? You think you know what? The older you get, the sometimes you can get through this stuff. I'm here to tell you that is not always the case. Because there are people that will carry this stuff right to the grave with them. Not knowing, not realizing that there is a way to overcome this. Guilt and shame at some point will afflict us all. It will. It will. I want to delve into it a little bit this morning with you. I want to delve into the elephant in the room of guilt and shame. I want to deal with mostly with the elephant in the room of shame this morning is what I want to deal with. And how it can affect our relationships with those around us, and more importantly, this is the most important part. Sometimes it affects our walk with God. Do we understand that this morning? Sometimes it can affect the walk that we have with God. First off, guilt and shame are different. Did you know that? Did you know that they are different? They're two different elephants. Guilt will tell you, will tell us, this is what I do. I have done something wrong and I feel bad. That's what guilt will tell us. I have done something wrong and I feel bad. You've lied to someone. Maybe you've lied to a friend. Guess what? You feel bad about that. You go. You get that corrected. You ask for forgiveness, and guess what? You can move on. They forgive you. You move on. You know what shame does? Shame is different. Shame will tell you you are bad. That's what shame tries to tell you. Shame will tell you that you are bad, that you are unworthy. That's what shame will try to do to you. Shame says, I've done something or someone has done something to me. And somehow, it's my fault. Somehow, it's me is the one that should deal with this, the guilt and the shame. I'm the one. Shame will tell you that you are the one that's at fault. I'm bad. You're bad. I'm unworthy. Or you're unworthy. That's what shame wants to do to you. Shame will let you look in the mirror and say, who do you think you are? Who do you think that you are when you look in the mirror? Shame will do that to you sometimes. And one thing too is shame will linger. Shame will hang on to you. That's what it likes to do. That elephant in the room of shame will hang on to you in your life. It doesn't go away just because you say you're sorry. If you've ever dealt with this elephant in the room, it makes no difference how much that you say that you're sorry. Shame will stay there and continue to tell you that you're unworthy. That's what it'll do. I'm here to tell you this morning, and I want to reiterate this. You are worthy this morning. Do you know that this morning? You are worthy. You are worthy because of a man named Jesus Christ. That's what makes you worthy. Do not let this. When you look in the mirror and you say, you know what? I know someone that took the shame and the guilt out of my life, and I am worthy here this morning. You are worthy. Because shame isn't just simply feeling bad. Shame wants to tell you that you are bad. That's what it wants to tell you. Shame's been around a long time. That's why I titled the sermon, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Who told you? In Genesis 2:25, I read it. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. See, when God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, we are a church that believes that here this morning, and I hope that you are here this morning and believe that as well. But I'm not going to change my mind whether you do or you don't. I'm here this morning to tell you I believe God created everything. And whenever God created the heavens and the earth, I'm also here to tell you this morning that it was perfect in the beginning. It was perfect. He created everything as it was perfect. He created the Garden of Eden. And guess what? He made man and he made woman. And he put them in the Garden of Eden. And when he put them in there, praise God, everything was still perfect. And he gave them one rule. And he told them this. He said in Genesis 2:16-17, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's the only rule. You think about out here in the world today, you think you've got a lot of rules today? There may be, but there was only one at that time. God said everything else was perfect. All you have to do is not eat of the tree. Not eat of that one tree. Life was good for them. It was. They were minding God. They were fellowshipping with Him. There was nothing standing between their relationship, between them and God. I want to ask you something this morning. Is there anything that's standing between the relationship of you and God this morning? Is there anything? You know what? Is shame doing that to you today? And what is it? Is there anything that's keeping you from having a closer relationship with the God of this universe? Because if there is something, listen to me. Listen to me. That can be taken care of this morning. But all that changed in Genesis, the third chapter, 6 through 11. And I'm going to read it because I believe it's very important. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and made themselves upon them aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree thereof? I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. Have you? Who told you? See, there was no problem before this. There was no problem before they disobeyed God. But the moment that they disobeyed God, their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And they realized that they were naked. And guess what they did? They covered, they grabbed the first thing that they could grab to cover themselves from their nakedness. I'm here to tell you this morning, you know what shame will do? There are times whenever shame's in our lives, what it'll do? We grab the first thing that we can grab to try to cover up from what's going on in our lives. You know what? I preached on the elephant in the room of addiction here a couple weeks ago. Last week I preached on the elephant of ingratitude. I'm here to tell you, whenever shame is part of our lives sometimes, we try to grab the first thing to cover up, and there in turn, we add other elephants to the room. Sometimes it could be drugs. Sometimes it could be alcohol. Sometimes it could be lots of different things. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you see what they did? They grabbed the first thing that they could grab to cover up with. I'm going to tell you here this morning, listen to me. If shame is a part of your life, I'm telling you, I want to tell you what you can grab this morning to cover up with that'll last an eternity. I'm talking about the precious blood of Jesus Christ this morning. I believe this morning, I believe this wholeheartedly, that Jesus Christ came and lived upon this earth, and He died, and they crucified Him, and He rose the third day, and His precious blood went down that cross so you and I could have salvation, and could have hope, and could have life, and we don't have to deal with the shame no more. We don't have to do that. You don't have to do that this morning. I say this, and I say this a good bit, but you know what? I'm not up here preaching to you fairy tales. I'm up here preaching to you the truth. You know why? Because you know what? I'm not going to preach nothing that hasn't happened to me. Praise God. I got saved one day. I got saved. I know what it's like to feel the Spirit of God overflow your life and to know that you're born again. You don't have to sit back here this morning not knowing. It's a no-so salvation. It's a salvation that you know when you're saved. And guess what? Yes, God had wiped them out. You know what? God could have wiped them off the face of the earth. But this is just how amazing the God is that we serve. He loved them enough that He made them a covering to cover them. And guess what? He loves us enough today that He made a covering to cover us. He sent His only Son down here. He sent His only Son down here And guess what? You do not have to live with the guilt and the shame anymore. Because why? Because the God that we serve is bigger than that. Amen. And He loves you. He loves you, and praise be to God. He's still doing that today. If you look around today, you can see the lives of many mimic Adam and Eve, do you not? We see the lives of many mimic them. We're born naked, both physically and spiritually. We are. I'm here to tell you, you come to the point, you've got to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. You've got to accept Him, or there's no hope. Now, you're saying, preacher, that all the religions in the world, you know, why is this as Christianity? Because the Bible tells us there's only one way to the Father, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the hope of this world. We come into this world free from guilt and shame. We do. We come into this world free of guilt and shame. We're innocent. But as the years go by, events happen. Experiences happen in our lives. Things happen, whether it's something we've done, a choice that we made, or whether it's something someone has done to us. Listen to me. Guilt can come into our lives. Shame can be introduced into our lives. That's what can happen to it sometimes. And you can be living with it today. You sitting back here at the sound of my voice, and those that are going to listen to this sermon out there on the website, you know what? You could be living with shame and guilt today, and you do not have to be. Amen. Because you're saying to yourself, I'm bad, and I'm to blame. That is not the case. That is not the case. Your spouse walked out on you, and somehow it's your fault, and you continue to hang on to that. You don't have a good relationship with your parents, your mom or dad, and somehow, you know what? You feel that it's all your fault. Your kids get into trouble, and things happen, and somehow the devil whispers in your ear, you're a bad parent. You're at fault here, and you hang on to that and hang on to it. You didn't get the job, and the devil's whispering to you, oh, you're just not smart enough. You're just not smart enough. You're not intelligent enough. Or maybe you've lost someone into a tragedy. And you blame yourself and you question, why couldn't it have been me? Why shouldn't I have been here? I don't know, but I'm here to tell you this morning, shame is a lie. Shame is a lie that will stick with you and go with you. Shame is that serpent whispering in the ear. Shame is that elephant in the room. It's exactly what shame is. That tells you that you will never be good enough. I've got to admit, I've done a lot of soul searching this week during this sermon. And I try to make a list of, Dave, you'll never be good at blank to do this. You'll never be good enough to blank this. You'll never be, and believe you me, I made a big list. I'm asking you this morning, do you say that to yourself this morning? Can you say, is there something in your life that you're saying, you know what, the devil's lying to you and saying, I will not be blank enough to do this. I will not be blank enough to be that. I'll just never be good enough because of what I've done and what somebody's done to me in my life and the shame and the guilt that I carry around. I'm here to tell you this morning, never, ever let the devil defeat you like that. Don't let him lie to you like that. You know what? They can cause you to be like Adam and Eve and cover up. Hide, go back into a shell, try to hide from God, try to hide it from God. Do we realize that we cannot hide these things from the God that we serve? We serve an omnipotent God, omnipresent God, a God that knows all things about us. He knows everything about you this morning. I'm here to tell you, I don't know what's going on in your life, I don't know where you're at, but I do know this, if you are dealing with the elephant of shame and guilt in your life, I'm going to tell you right now, come up here this morning. Come up here this morning and let's get it out of there. Let's give it to Him this morning. None of us are perfect. I understand that. None of us are. Proverbs 5:22. If you're letting it hold on to you, listen, I like this scripture from Proverbs. It tells us, His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with cords of sin. You know what? shame and guilt can grab a hold of us and hold us down and keep us from finding a relationship with God. And if you know God today and it's holding you back from a closer walk with Him, I'm here to tell you, God can take care of it. His Son can take care of that this morning. We can pray with you this morning. That's what we can do. I ask you this morning, I'm going to have him come get a song. I'm done. I want to ask you something this morning. I wish there was a place, I wish there was a wonderful place called the land of beginning again. I wish there was, but guess what? There is. There is. You may be sitting back and wish there was a land of beginning again. There is. And it's called the altar. It's called the place where we can come and we can give it all to Jesus, give it all to Him this morning. But I want to tell you something. Whenever we do this, we have to give it all to Him. Don't hold nothing back. Don't hold nothing back for yourself. Whenever I say, when we say, come and give it to Him, don't pick it back up and take it with you. Come up here and say, God, it's yours. I'm giving it to you this morning. What do we have?